Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, gather round the radio. It's time now for another installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. The first installment of A Touch of Grey for the year 2014, and hope the year is off and running in a good fashion for you and yours. I'm Michael Harrison, serving as the anchor of the program. It's an ensemble show with lots of good people involved, including its host, Carol Marks, one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism. Let's kick off the program now with Carol Marks in conversation with Hattie Kaufman. She's won 4 Emmy Awards and spent more than 2 decades as a national correspondent, and she's interviewed presidents, Oscar winners, astronauts, and Olympians. She's going to talk to Carol about her memoir, Falling Into Place, a memoir of overcoming, published by Baker Books.
Why did you feel this was the right time to tell your life story when you never talked about what it was like to grow up before?
Well, gosh, I had a long career on television, and, you know, television is a glamorous profession, and I was working alongside people who seemed to have, the world at their fingertips. And I had this kind of a secret, you know, about my childhood. I grew up so poor, and my parents were drinking and fighting and disappearing, and I don't know, maybe kids of alcoholics learn to keep secrets, I don't know, but, or I was just embarrassed as an adult, I don't know, but I did keep it quiet all that time. I'm now mid-50s, my television career is winding down, and I guess I've just had a change in perspective. I think that there are lessons that come out of this childhood. And also, as you said, and we're not defined by what has happened to us. Maybe I'm a slow learner. I finally got it. But I thought I could pass this on, and I could do it in a way that, you know, still honors my parents. I don't want to say that they were terrible. I don't like those books where it's like everything is their fault.
Oh, Mommy Dearest books.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Not that at all. And I wanted to be clear that they're not terrible people. There were people going through a terrible time, and we were the kids in tow through that time. But a lot of what we went through, I think, made every one of us stronger.
Oh,
and
I couldn't agree
I do
more.
Have forgiveness for them.
And you have a very fast-paced memoir because it spans 5 decades, and it does cover the formative places you grew up, the reservation, Des Perce in Idaho, and then the Seattle public housing. So I wanted to talk first about the reservation because, you know, reading the book, I learned that you and your siblings lived on a tiny farm, but it provided you with some food and an orchard and vegetable gardens and some animals. Mm-hmm. So why did your father, in 1960, move your family to Seattle, Washington, which is a big city and where you really didn't have the support of other people that lived on the reservation?
Boy, I wish I knew. I don't know why. I assume because there are no jobs, you know. It was my mother who's American Indian, my father who's not, and he had a college degree, and I'm sure, you know, that maybe the farm was just not enough, and he wanted to go and actually have be able to do his career. But we look so wistfully back at those times when we were hungry and alone in the projects. We would think back to how we lived in Idaho. The other thing, besides even having a farm, you know, on a reservation, you have a big network of relatives.
Absolutely.
And you would have people to go stay with. You'd have grandparents. You'd have, you know, people could go hunting. They could go fishing. There was a way to get food. And yet in Seattle, when their marriage fell apart and we were in the housing projects and there were 7 of us kids, suddenly we didn't have that network. We didn't have anybody to look to help us. And there's some amazing stories there of how we managed to survive. I mean, think about 7 kids in a house, and if there are no
and
parents,
no heat, no electricity.
Yeah, and no one pays the bill. The lights get shut out.
Absolutely.
Shut off, and then pretty soon the heat gets shut off. So you have 7 kids who are not only scared at night because it's so dark, but they're cold and they're scared.
And hungry.
The worst was having the water shut off. Then what do we do? So we manage. We figure out little ways of surviving and getting by. We're like a little band of urchins. At one point, there's a scene in the book where we travel across the city to go try to find an aunt, someone that we know who will take care of us.
And, boy, you didn't know your older sibling didn't try to get to your aunt, and you and your siblings got lost, I would say, big time, many times getting across that city.
We were supposed to get on, I think, the number 7 bus. We got on the number 3 bus. I don't remember the exact numbers, but we end up in the total wrong place and we have to walk. By then you don't have any more bus fare. And I think about that, you know, how long it must have taken them to gather the nickels and dimes to put together bus fare for seven kids and then to get downtown, and downtown itself was terrifying and big and noisy and, you know, all crowded. And
but you did get there.
We got there on foot.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the really gut-wrenching stories that hit me in your book about hunger was when you found a tiny bit of jam on the bottom rim of a jar, and then what happened?
I scraped that tiny bit of jam into my mouth. And at the very moment I'm tasting it, I hear my baby sister start to cry in the other room, and I'm overwhelmed with guilt because I'm taking care of three younger ones. Now, I'm tiny myself. I'm barely five. I'm between on the edge of four and five, and I have three younger ones. And so, three-year-old, two-year-old, and a baby, and I hear her crying, and I think at that very young age, I had a kind of a guilt complex imprinted on me because I knew I'm supposed to take care of them, and I swallowed this little piece of jam, and I managed to get about a fingernail's full more and carry it into the other room and, you know, put
it in
her mouth.
Such a haunting story. And what I want to talk about next is, you know, the amazing story of how you were able to break out of these really desperate living conditions. And how old were you when you were able to land a job with a radio station, because you and 30 students from school just happened to visit it? So how did that happen?
Well, I was, first of all, I just want to point out how important it is for adults to care about kids that may not be their own. There was a counselor who came to my school when I was in junior high, and she said, "Hattie, you're smart. You could get a scholarship." And she was just somebody, you know, she wasn't my mom, my aunt. She was just an adult who turned and noticed and cared. And her words gave me confidence. And I began to apply to scholarships. And I eventually got a scholarship, and I was at the University of Minnesota, and I was only 17 years old as a freshman. And somebody from the radio station came in to our student meeting and said, "We'd like to give you students, the Native American students, 5 minutes a day on the radio," because there was a lot of Native American news back then. It was the American Indian Movement, the takeover of Wounded Knee, all that sort of thing was happening. I was right there in Minnesota, which was the headquarters of it. And so I raised my hand and I volunteered. And I started on the radio the very next day, only getting paid 2.5 hours a day. I think it was $5 an hour. So it's that $12 a day. But that was my first broadcasting job. And I really continued broadcasting for the next 30 years. I mean,
you certainly did.
It was my career.
And do you think that you were able to advance your news reporting career at such a young age because you were willing to cover any story anywhere at any time? And I had a laugh when I read that one reporter said about you, you would cover the rats having a meeting in the cellar at midnight. You were eager, right?
I was very eager. Well, and again, I think some of that must come back from the childhood, because if you are, you know, trying to survive, and then you start a job, I just had a big work ethic. I mean, you have to try to make it happen for yourself. And television is a competitive business. When I moved from radio to television, I found out that there aren't that many minutes in an average half an hour newscast, and all of the reporters are trying to get on there. And so you have to be willing to work holidays and night shift and midnight, and I'll work Christmas, I'll do, you know, all this sort of thing just to try to get on TV. And the more times you get on TV, the more times they'll look to you when they need somebody to cover something. And there came a time where they needed somebody to fill in on a morning anchor job. It was the middle of the night. Who are you going to call? Well, they're going to call me, because I had always said yes. I'd never said no to any assignment. And so all of a sudden, there I am sitting in the anchor chair saying, "Good morning, Seattle, and this is the news." And I was anchoring. It was just unbelievable to me.
And you went on to have international assignments when you were working for ABC's Good Morning America. And I think really that the poverty you went through made you really more empathetic. And I was really, again, you know, touched by the story that when they asked you to cover it, when you went to Mexico to interview people that were living off of a garbage dump.
Yes, 30,000 people living in a ring around the garbage dump of Mexico City, and this was 1989 or 87. And I was to go tell the story. How do you possibly tell a story when it's so daunting? The producer had suggested we ask each person, what is your most valuable possession? And then he would put a montage of pictures of like a tin cup or something. And I didn't want to ask that because I thought it was so demeaning. So I asked the woman where she came from, what were her hopes for her family, how did she get here? And when my interview was finished, I thanked her, and over my shoulder, the producer said, wait, Senora, what is the most valuable possession you own? And she looked at us and looked around at her, this awful place where she was, and her kids were barefoot and walking around and practically, you know, broken glass and flies. It was just horrible. But she drew herself up and with some dignity said, mi familia. And
wow.
I think that just struck me. Mi familia means my family. And I realized in that moment that all human beings have this universal truth. What is most valuable to us? And so it helped me understand that she is no different than maybe the person on the red carpet at the Oscars that I might interview. You know, we all are at essence human beings, and we have those same things that are important to us.
Absolutely.
Our community, our family.
That's Hattie Kaufman in conversation with Carol Marks. Her book is titled Falling Into Place, a memoir of overcoming. It's published by Baker Books. For more information, go to HattieKaufman.com. That's H-A-T-T-I-E, Kaufman.com. I'm Michael Harrison. Carol Marks and A Touch of Gray continue in just a moment.
Did you know? An estimated 16 million Americans suffer from a chronic inflammatory facial condition called rosacea, and most of them don't know it. Often mistaken for acne, there are many signs and symptoms of rosacea besides facial redness, pimples, and visible blood vessels. Other symptoms may include burning, stinging, swelling, and even enlargement of the nose. Rosacea can also affect the eyes, causing a bloodshot appearance and irritation that could lead to vision loss. Any one of these signs and symptoms can mean rosacea, and without medical help, it can become increasingly severe and wreak havoc on your personal and professional life. Rosacea typically appears any time after age 30. So if you experience any sign of rosacea, see a dermatologist for diagnosis and treatment. Or for more information, visit the National Rosacea Society at rosacea.org.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
Engines.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing now with A Touch Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. And here again is the host of the program, Carol Marks, in conversation now with Dr. Gary Small. He's the director of the UCLA Longevity Center at the University's Semmel Institute for Neuroscience and Human Behavior. And he's professor of medicine at UCLA's Geffen School of Medicine. And he's going to talk to Carol now about his book titled, The Alzheimer's Prevention Program, Keep Your Brain Healthy for the Rest of Your Life. Published by Workman Publishing.
Now, when it comes to Alzheimer's and delaying the onset of this life-destroying disease, which affects an American every 70 seconds, what's your book designed to do?
The book updates people on the latest science. There's so much information that we need to put into perspective, but it takes it beyond just the information. It puts the information into practical strategies that people can apply for their everyday life. So, for example, we have a 7-day jumpstart program where people see how easy it is to begin to exercise their brains, exercise their bodies lower their stress levels, eat right, to improve their brain health and stave off symptoms in the future.
And one of the great things in your book is you have all kinds of things you have that help you decide where you are with your brain health. You have self-assessment quizzes, and I think that's so important.
It's important to get an idea of where you are, where you're starting, and see improvement. And this motivates people. After just 1 week, you're going to take the assessment tool and see that you've improved. And that motivates you to continue. It's a bit like going on a diet and you step on the scale and you see, my goodness, I've lost a few pounds. Now you're motivated to continue because it's going to take more than just 1 week to truly protect your brain health. We've looked at the scientific evidence and we've calculated that it's possible to stave off symptoms to up to 4 years or more. And for many people, that could mean never getting symptoms in their lifetime, which is about as close to a cure as we've got today.
And you know, we all know that physical exercise and nutrition and some mental exercise are really the things that you can do to prevent Alzheimer's, but you actually, you know, give the results of doing each of these things, and they certainly lower your risk for Alzheimer's. But you make a great point when you say the best thing is to combine all these things together, and then you really get a good result.
We've certainly seen in our shorter-term studies when we combine the approaches, there are dramatic effects. So we did a two-week study. We've done a six-week study where we have control groups. We've looked at brain scans. We see significant changes in the brain. And there are testimonials. People find that when they start exercising, eating right, and learning to improve their memory right away, that it really has an impact on their lives. They feel more empowered. They feel that their memory is stronger, and they're really motivated to continue the lifestyle changes.
Now, another piece of good news that we've learned in recent years is the brain can change itself and develop new cells. One of the ways it seems to help is using brain games. And can you tell us about the ones in your book?
Yeah, we have lots of exercises to change up those brain cells and activate the neural circuits. So, you know, anything you do that is challenging and interesting, puzzle-solving, learning a new language, that's probably going to help your brain cells. But even more importantly is learning specific memory techniques that help with everyday memory challenges. I think we know that by age 45, the average person has observable, measurable memory decline compared to when they're younger. That's the bad news. The good news is that our memory exercises result in significant improvement in your memory ability, and those improvements can be sustained for many years if you use the techniques.
And I was really intrigued that you have some exercises in there to cross-train your brain. So can you tell us about one of them? I remember one was brushing your teeth with the opposite hand.
Yeah, I think those are interesting exercises. I mean, one thing I've done is when I use a computer, I change hands with the mouse, which at first was very challenging, but now I'm ambidextrous when it comes to my computer mice. So I think anything like that that is fun and different may be good for your brain. And cross-training is a concept that we have with physical exercise. And in many ways, what's going on with brain exercise is similar to physical exercise. We find that initially there's an increase in neural activity, but eventually the brain becomes efficient, just like training at the gym. When you start training at the gym, it's hard to lift a few pounds, but with work, you can become more efficient, lift more weight, and exert less energy.
And in this new edition of the book, you have some of the most compelling and common questions you're asked about Alzheimer's. That's so helpful. Can you give us an example of one of the common questions you get?
Well, a common question would be, my mother has Alzheimer's. She got it in her 70s. I'm in my 40s and I'm beginning to get forgetful. Should I be worried? Well, the answer is no, you shouldn't be worried because everybody gets forgetful in their 40s. And in fact, in families, if you have a genetic risk, the age of onset tends to be similar. So the disease your mom got in her 70s is not the same kind of normal forgetfulness you're getting in your 40s.
Are you ever too old or too young to start an Alzheimer's program?
I say everybody should get started regardless of their age. We found in our studies of people in their 60s, 70s, and 80s, when they get started on the program, they definitely see results.
And I was just amazed to find out that, you know, we all have some of that amyloid protein in our brains, but that doesn't mean that we are going to have Alzheimer's, correct?
That's right. Just because you have the disease in your brain doesn't mean you're necessarily going to get symptoms. And we can fight back against the disease and make a difference in our lives.
And I also want to congratulate you for having been named one of the world's leading innovators in science and technology by Scientific American. You must have been very pleased.
Well, I thought it was a practical joke from a friend when I got the notification. And yes, I was pleasantly surprised and really appreciate the recognition from my colleagues.
And do you have a final word for our listeners about preventing Alzheimer's?
Well, I think that people need to realize they have more control than they think. They can exercise their brains and their bodies, manage stress better, learn some memory techniques, and possibly stave off symptoms for 4 or more years, which can mean possibly never getting symptoms in your lifetime. And if you want more information and find out about the book, please visit me on my website, drgarysmall.com. That's drgarysmall.com.
That's Dr. Gary Small in conversation with Carol Marks. His book is titled The Alzheimer's Prevention Program, Keep Your Brain Healthy for the Rest of Your Life, published by Workman Publishing. For more information, go to the website drgarysmall.com. That's drgarysmall.com. We'll be joined in a few minutes by Kevin Casey from Talkers Magazine. Steve Wiseman will be joining us as well here on this first installment of Touch of Gray for 2014, which continues in a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on matchingdonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. Matchingdonors.com improves those odds by finding living altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to matchingdonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's matchingdonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security websites. Pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
This is a Driving Today Minute. Even though high gasoline prices have moderated somewhat, they're still quite high. It just makes good sense to do what you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy suggests a few easy things you can do.
Keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving. According to the U.S. Department of Energy, speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds.
So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. Inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life.
This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners such as autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray.
Check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Engines.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation's struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we're joined at this point in our program by our senior correspondent, Kevin Casey, who's also the vice president and executive editor of the trade magazine, Talkers, which is the trade publication serving the talk radio and talk media industries. And, Kevin, this is the first show of the year of 2014, and I know from my involvement at Talkers as publisher, people always ask me, what do you think the big story is going to be that everybody will be talking about next year or in this coming year? And I know you get asked that question a lot, too. What has your answer been this time around?
Well, the answer is that there'll be a lot of the same sorts of stories. But the reality is there'll be a story or two or something that we just don't know is going to happen. And those will be the big stories of the year. The best stories are the surprises, the ones you don't see coming.
And every time I ever am having a conversation with someone, you know, and go, well, it's the same stuff, you know, Obamacare, and, oh, it's the same stuff, the war, or the same stuff, the election, that's when something big always breaks. I was once interviewed by the New York Times back many years ago, and they were asking, what do you think is going to be the big story next week? And while I was being interviewed, we had, you know, on the big TV monitors in the newsroom at Talkers, the news was on, CNN or, you know, ABC, one of the news channels, and I saw unfolding as I was answering the question, breaking news, a bombing of the federal office building in Oklahoma City.
Oh, my
And I said to the reporter, I think the answer to your question is happening right now as we're talking. Something's going on in Oklahoma. And sure enough, so you never, you never know. I once also had a conversation with somebody. I was working at a radio station, and they said, boy, it's the same stuff over and over again. Nothing new. It's just been dry for months. And I got in the car, drove away, and the news broke. Magic Johnson diagnosed HIV positive. That was a blockbuster story. Do you remember that? When that?
Oh yeah, that was big, especially at the time in the way the medical community was dealing with AIDS at that point.
Yeah, you know, when you think back to AIDS in the early 90s, holy, it was just what an era that was. Not that we're out of it, but it certainly has taken on a calmer and more educated perspective than back then. But you never know. You know, between natural disasters, unexpected political events, crises in the financial markets, stupid statements by well-known people. I mean, that's like, you know, we always get plenty of those, don't we?
That's going to happen all year long.
You know, it's especially in our business. But, you know, there's the politician that self-destructs. There's the scandal that some company was fraudulent. The wheel just keeps going round. But I always answer that question. The big story of the year is unknown. And if it weren't, for that, I guess this would be rather dull.
True.
So, all right. Well, Kevin, I wish you a very happy new year. Working with you is a joy. And may the unexpected things that happen be of a positive nature for all of us. Kevin Casey, ladies and gentlemen, the executive editor, vice president of Talkers Magazine, also one of our senior correspondents here on A Touch of Gray. And if you are interested in visiting talkers.com, well, do so. There's no requirement. Just, you know, get on your keyboard and type it in, www.talkers.com, and you are in the world of the talk radio industry. I'm Michael Harrison. More Touch of Gray coming your way in just a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly. That's socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and it's time for us to be joined by our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman, the rest of the hour. And Steve Wiseman now is in conversation with George Wallace. No, not the late governor of Alabama, but kind of a legendary comedian, a comedian's comedian, who started his career at New York City's Comic Strip Live back in the 1970s, where he roomed with Jerry Seinfeld and later served as the best man at his wedding. He's ranked by Comedy Central as one of the best comedians of all time, and he's going to talk to Steve about his new book titled Laugh It Off, published by Shate Press.
And joining us now on A Touch of Grey is George Wallace, not the deceased old racist governor, but one of the funniest guys on the planet. First of all, okay, we can forgive your parents for your name because you're born in 1951. Do you ever think maybe back in the 60s or 70s of just maybe changing your name?
No, my dad's name was George Wallace. There are 9 George Wallaces in my family. So we decided to make George Wallace a great name. How about that?
Well, I think you did a good job.
And I had to laugh it off, you know.
Do you ever find out what the other George Wallace thought about it when you're out there performing?
Well, you know, he was shot before I became a comedian, I think. I'm not sure. But I did meet his kids. They came to my show one time at the when I was working at the MGM Grand. They came by, and they were nice people. And you know, and I just like everybody.
That's great.
Through some way, somehow, if he knew about me, he knew that he needed to laugh more instead of being mean. How about that? Because he did change in his latter day.
Yes, he did. You know, shooting will do that to some people.
A bullet will make you change your mind in a minute. Yes, it will.
You get it. You know, you're talking about people you know. Many people don't know that you and Jerry Seinfeld are best friends. In fact, you were the best man at his wedding. He wrote the foreword to your book. How'd you meet Jerry, and what's kept you like brothers all of these years?
You know, that's the most important key right there, is like brothers. I'm like his older brother. We're just like, I just love him. You know, you can see he's an idiot when you read the foreword, Jerry.
I love it.
He doesn't even know who I am.
Right.
And the only thing we have in common is we both love him. And that is true. And I tell everybody, what a great friend. If you're going to clone a friend, clone a Seinfeld. He is really, absolutely my best friend for 37 years. And I should have been, I was best man. She should have married me. All that stuff, you know. It's an honor to be his friend. I met him at Catch a Rising Star many years ago in New York City.
You know, I don't think there is anything that is more difficult in putting yourself out there than getting up on a stage and stand up. A singer can be crummy, but it can be quiet. If it's quiet when a stand-up is up there, it's horrible. Now, your first stand-up routine, did I learn about that correctly, that you actually went up on stage and improvised? You didn't even have the material ready? You were just going to do it?
That's what I do every night right now, just go up there and just do nothing. I have the greatest job in the world. I wish more people would enjoy the work like I do. You know, I go out every night, and I do have the news to back me up. So every night I can just watch the news and just take it from there. But I'm blessed to have so much material that I go out every night and the show is different. So but when I started, I didn't have a real act. I was just putting it together. And I was selling advertising in New York City and to the comic strip, the world famous comic strip on 2nd Avenue. And I said, by the way, I have a little comedy act. So we'll come in and audition. And went in on a Thursday night. And I've been on stage ever since. It's been a blessing.
You know, one of the things that I laughed out loud at a lot of parts of the book. And
thank you.
You know, and one of the things you said in there, and it was interesting in the beginning about how small children and children in general will laugh a lot during the day, and it's healthy and it's good, but as we get older, we stop laughing. Why is that?
I don't know. You know, we have said before that we grow older, we think we got bills to pay, we got issues to worry about, but so do kids. They've got little problems too. They got a math test and the teeth are falling out of their head, running around like crazy, but they find a way to laugh. And that's why I'm teaching young kids, make sure you enjoy your life. And you know, I have the most diverse audience in Las Vegas here at the Flamingo. Young people, old people, black people, white people, hip hoppers and gangbangers all up in here laughing. And I really have a message for the young kids. Travel as soon as you get out of high school or college. Go to another country. See how other people live, other customs. It is so important. And, you know, young kids just love each other. You know, no matter where it is, young people, you give me 10 young kids from Africa, 10 young kids from Buenos Aires, Argentina, 10 young kids from Shanghai, and 10 young kids from Cleveland, Ohio. You give them a boombox and a keg of beer. You come back 1 hour later, there's a party going on. Yeah. Nobody speaks the language at all, but through some way, young kids put it together. Old people are a meme. Who's got wars, Steve?
Yeah.
Old, rich,
the old guys.
So I'm thinking the young kids, make sure you travel, go to these places, have a good time while you're young, go to the nude beaches, get all of that stuff out of your way. Travel while everything is working. That's what I'm trying to teach the young kids. Make sure you enjoy your life. But old people, we can still laugh, though. That's what the book is about. We're teaching us, hey, there are things we should laugh about, too.
That's for sure. Although, you know, I went to a nude beach as an old person recently, and there are a lot of people I want to kick off that beach. It was not pretty, I'll tell you.
You said as an old person, somebody probably want to kick you off the beach, too.
You know, maybe that was the right reason for that look.
Hey, Steve, did you ever go to the beaches like in Spain?
No. I've only went in that's where I should be going?
You should be going to Ibiza.
Oh, that sounds good.
Really great.
Hey, there was a piece, again, I laughed out loud so much. People go, what are you reading? I said, I'm reading George Wallace. They said, okay, then I understand. There was a piece about you helping your fellow man. It was helping out a homeless guy. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, there was a homeless guy who was down and out, dejected and rejected in every way. No money, no place to go, anything. And I know I'm the most blessed person on this earth, and my job is to give back. All of my job is to give back. So this guy had no place to go, and I just thought, I wrote him a check for $1,000 right there on the spot. And because it's my job to give back. And when he walked away, I called and reported that check stolen. And I'm thinking, you know, when he goes to catch that check, now see, because I'd be thinking, as George Wallace would say, I'd be thinking, when he goes to catch that check, he's going to get free room and board for 6 months. Now see, I'm doing my part. What are you doing? See, it's just a lot of fun to have. I just make up stories like that and have
fun. Well, you know, it's the milk of human kindness.
It's the greatest medicine in the world. Just love it.
It is. I mean, the milk of human kindness by the quart in every vein. I mean, you're a smart man, Mr. Wallace, I'll tell you that. Why did you write this book? Because it isn't just a funny book. There really is a lot of message in there, and you're trying to get something out, aren't you?
Well, thank you so much. You know, I've been my manager's been on me for over 8 years to write the book, and then Joel Osteen, who really inspired me, as you can see, his name is there in the book,
to
go ahead and teach us, Mr. Wallace, you've got a lot of funny stories to share with the world. You should go ahead and write this book. And the book is it's an inspirational book, it's a self-help book, it's a life coach book, and it's a humorous book. And most of all, it teaches you about the best medicine in the world, and that is laughter. And the great thing about this medicine is that it's actually free. It's free medicine. Laughter is the greatest medicine in the world. That's why I'm encouraging people to laugh more. And that just, since it's a free medicine, laugh more and overdose on laughter. Just laugh all the time. Keep a positive attitude. And laugh all the time. Keep it in the reach of children. Laugh with your children, okay? Overdose on it. And if you start laughing and you laugh for 4 hours, then you call your doctor. And give the doctor the same prescription so they can laugh also. It is good to laugh. I just love teaching it and talking about it every night.
You know, you headline at the Flamingo Resort and Casino in Vegas, and it's a great show. Is it true that you not only perform but produce, direct, and do marketing and advertising?
I am different than all entertainers in Las Vegas. I don't work for the hotels. They don't give me a check. I own the show. I came here and I said, I want to do it my way, pay me by commission, like I did when I was in New York. Everything at Times Square, the billboards and the spectacles at Times Square, I used to sell that on commission, all those billboards in New York. So I was in the habit of making money for myself commission-wise. So, yes, I do own the show. I do all the marketing, all the advertising, and scheduling.
You put it all.
Dealing with brokers and everything, ticket brokers, and I love it. I actually love it. I came here for 30 days. I'm into my 10th year. Can you believe that?
That's legendary comedian George Wallace in conversation with Steve Wiseman. His book is Laugh It Off, published by Shate Press. And if you want more information, he has a website, georgewallace.net. Steve Wiseman returns for our final segment of the hour to give advice to Target shoppers. That's coming up when Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
She's conquered some of the most challenging ski courses anywhere, but with only one leg, the odds were against her even walking.
The growth was stunted in my right leg when I was born, and the doctors told my mother we needed to amputate when I was 5 years old.
Bonnie was helped at a Shriners Hospital, one of a network of 22 hospitals helping kids throughout North America. Shriners Hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care, and they offer that care totally free of charge.
The care and treatment the Shriners gave me was a gift. It wasn't just about learning to walk. They helped me to believe in myself.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area realize their dreams.
If I went back to the Shriners Hospital and talked to the nurses and doctors, I would say thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true.
If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to GoDirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. We come to the final segment of this hour of our broadcast. And a continued conversation with attorney Stephen J.J. Wiseman. And Steve Wiseman, as you know, is not only a great interviewer of various and sundry guests on our program, he's also a tremendously articulate and prolific author when it comes to a number of topics, including scams. He's an expert on it. He's written the book The Truth About Avoiding Scams, published by Prentice Hall. His website is scamicide.com. And he's here now to give advice to target shoppers. Steve?
Thank you, Michael. You know, it's been a couple of weeks now since the massive target hacking of 40 million people's credit cards. And some of you, like me, may be looking at this, even if you've shopped at Target, like me, and saying, you know what? I checked on my credit card. I hope you didn't use a debit card. Because if you don't use a debit card for shopping, and the reason for that is, if a debit card gets hacked, if it becomes the numbers become stolen, the identity thief can get access to your entire bank account. And, you know, with a credit card, the worst that can happen as far as the credit card goes is you're responsible for $50 worth of fraudulent purchases, and even most banks won't hold you for that. But that debit card is just a huge problem. So only use that, make me a promise, only use that as an ATM card. And even there, be careful as you put it into the slot that the ATM hasn't been tampered with the skimmer that's reading it. But for the rest of us who have had our card, well, really our card number is stolen, you want to, of course, first check and see if it has already been used fraudulently. But even if it hasn't, don't feel so good. And the reason I say that is what these hackers did is they stole 40 million of these. They don't use them themselves. They put these up on black market sites where, depending on the type of credit card, someone will buy it for anywhere from $1 to $35. And when you got 40 million of these, you got a lot of money. So eventually, your card is going to be abused. So what you want to do, first of all, is stop that card. Cancel that card and get a new one. Now, when you do it, a lot of us, myself included, have some regular charges that automatically come off that card. So make sure when you get the new card, you immediately go and set up those charges again. This is probably also a good time to do, as I've been advising for a while, to put a credit freeze on your credit report. And you can find out how to do this on my blog, scamicide.com. The good thing about this is, even if someone manages to get your Social Security number or otherwise get information to provide access to your credit report, they're not going to get in there because you have it locked, you have it frozen with a PIN. So this is a good way of protecting yourself. And then the last thing is, get your free credit report. We all have the right to have them from each of the three major credit reporting agencies once a year for nothing. And you can get it for free anytime if you've been a victim of identity theft, as so many of us with Target were. So take these steps and you should be okay.
Thank you, Steve. Certainly a troubling subject and scary when you think about the fact that these things can continue to happen as we go deeper and deeper into this kind of alien 21st century digital era. Steve Wiseman is a regular member of our staff of senior correspondents. He's written The Truth About Avoiding Scams, published by Prentice Hall, and visit scamicide.com. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Kevin Casey. And thank you, Beverly Santinello, on the front line, our producer. Carol Marks, the host and founder of the program, we thank you. And we thank you for listening. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, inviting you to join us next weekend right here for another 2-hour installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups.